And we are live, ladies and gentlemen. What's going on? Good morning. It's a cold morning, but nevertheless, good morning. And welcome to my show, The Final Point, here. Wow, I've been out of commission for a while, but I'm back, ready to go, ready to dig into these sports here. So we're going to get to the NFL. We're going to get to boxing. We're going to get to numerous of things. And we're going to talk about things that doesn't make sense. We're going to talk about things that, you know, sports fans love to hear. Let's get into it. We're going to start with the NFL. I want to talk about these undefeated teams first. Let's get this out the way. Let's make a few things clear. First and foremost, you got San Francisco, the 3-1. I mean, the 3-0, sorry about that. 3-0, and then you got KC 4-0, New England 4-0. So KC, New England, is that expected for them to be 4-0? No, but it's not expected, but it's understood. 49ers 3-0. I think they're 3-0 because they haven't played anybody. However, you can argue and say they played some decent football. So that's fine if that's what you want to think. I was just telling somebody last week, anybody can be undefeated until they play a really good football team. And a lot of times we base it on statistical things. A lot of times we base it on records. A lot of times we base it on just numerous things. But a lot of times it comes down to who can play the entire football game from top to bottom, from first quarter to the last. That's what it comes down to. And the funny thing is that when it comes down to my Cowboys, I'm like the hardest critic. Because again, going into the New Orleans game, we were undefeated. And guess what? We got beat. And when I look at the final score tells me that the Saints are 12 points better than Dallas. However, Dallas's defense is playing really well so far. I'm kind of impressed. Kind of. Little bit. I won't give them the full credit just yet. Just yet. They got to show me a little something. And this week they're going to take on the Packers, but we're going to get into that in a moment. The AB scandal. What is my thoughts on the AB situation? Jesus Christ. That's all I can say. Let's look at the timeline here. Okay. He was traded from Pittsburgh to the Raiders. Now, in the beginning, did it look like a good trade? Absolutely. Would I have made the trade? No. No, I wouldn't have made the trade. Because I don't think that having him as an upgrade, looking at the distraction he was in Pittsburgh. Okay, great. So going forward, he comes on the team. You see him working out. He looks sharp. Had a foot injury. Then he turned around. He had helmet issues. So it appeared to be that he tried to force his way out of Oakland, saying, hey, I don't want to be here. Okay. Mike Mayock, why are you the GM? Why? For crying out loud, I feel sorry for the Raider fans. Because they have a guy who's a TV analyst and quite frankly doesn't know anything about football. And if you think about it, it makes perfect sense because why would you trade the best linebacker in football today? Why? Why? Makes no sense. No sense at all. Only for you to start the season and say, hey, we got to upgrade at receiver called Antonio Brown. You probably still could have got Antonio Brown without having to trade Khalil Mack. Why? Makes no sense. But that's what happens when you're bringing somebody from TV and putting them in a position that they shouldn't be in. Because if you look at their trades and some of their moves, no, absolutely not. Now, jumping back into AB got released. And then he turns around and gets signed by the Patriots, which was a great signing for the Patriots. But then, before you sign with the Patriots, a woman comes out and says, hey, he sexually harassed me or raped me or whatever the case may be. Now, I'm not saying it's a lie. and I'm not saying it's true. I wasn't there. And there's still nothing that he hasn't been convicted. So as far as I'm concerned, he's innocent. So we're just going to leave that there. However, you get to New England and you got one job. AB, you have one job. That's to catch the rock. That is to prove why you are the best receiver in the league. That's it. And get your $9 million guaranteed. And what did you do? You text the girl that accused you of this situation. So then Shannon Sharp comes on his show and says, and called you Clowntonio. Do I agree with that? Yeah. At this point, you can't help but agree with it. You can't. Because you ruined an opportunity that a lot of players are dying to get. I mean, think about it. You're on the world champion New England Patriots team and arguably playing for the best quarterback in football today. And you screw it up. Wow. Do you deserve to get back into the league? No. And I'm going to tell you why. Because first of all, getting into the league is a privilege. It's not something that the NFL owes you. It's a privilege to play something and do something that you love to do day in and day out. And you screwed it up. So AB is not going to get signed, not because they feel he can't play or that he's not coachable. They're not going to sign him because he's an idiot. And he's proven to the NFL and everyone else that he cannot conduct himself outside of football. So what does that become? A distraction. So what does that mean? Guess what? No one's going to sign you. At all. AB, that was the dumbest move, man. Going forward. Bengals and Steelers last night, Monday night game. The Steelers scored 27-3. Bengals only had three for the entire game. 3 points the entire game. Pittsburgh outscored the Bengals 21-0 in the second half. You got Mason Rudolph, former Oklahoma State quarterback, who I've seen for some time last year. Or no, the year before last and the year before that. Tore up the Big 12. But he performed really well against the Bengals. And the Bengals are just the Bengals. A losing franchise. Another one. If Pittsburgh can play like this against the Ravens, the Browns, because they play pathetic against San Francisco 49ers. So is this a quality win? No. But if I'm Mike Tomlin, I got a bunch of older players on my team. I think if you're going to tank, this is the time to do it. And see what you got going into next year and build off that in the draft in between free agency. And maybe this is a different Pittsburgh Steelers team. Potentially, that's what I would do. Because I'm not going to brag about beating the Bengals. I'm not going to brag about outscoring them 21-0 in the second half. But nevertheless, a win is a win. Upcoming games I want to take a look at. Rams and the Seahawks. And I believe they play Thursday night on Fox. And the Rams look tough. So does Seattle. That's going to be a good division game. I think the running game for Seattle has to be on point. I think in order for them to beat the Rams, they have to be able to get after Jared Goff. Because if you can't get after Jared Goff, guess what? Brandon Cooks is open, Cooper Kupp, I mean, the list, Robert Woods. I mean, they got a receiving core over there that's just dynamite. And so in order for him to get the ball to those guys, guess what you have to do? You have to get pressure on them. However, the Rams have a decent offensive line because you don't see Goff on the ground too often. So I think that's going to be the thing for Seattle. Can they get the job done? And I think at this point, this is going to prove how tough Seattle is if they can get the job done. Russell Wilson, hey, let's give the Seahawks what you're worth, man. Let's see what you got. This is going to be a tough test Thursday night. Jared Goff, I think the key for the Rams is to continue to play how they've been playing. You know, their passing game seems to be working. I think they get off to slow starts offensively. And so I think what that does is that opens the opportunity for other teams to get to keep their foot on the gas and maybe get upsets. Like, for example, Tampa Bay. They should have never lost to Tampa Bay. This is going to be a short week for the Rams. They should have never lost to Tampa Bay. That was embarrassing. And they lost to Tampa Bay because they didn't keep their foot on the gas. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? These things happen. Every once in a while, a team shows up and they beat you. Is it the end of the season? No. Is it the end of the world? No. But it's definitely an eye-opener. So I think the Rams are going to win because they lost last week, and this is not the way that they want to continue to play. So I think they make the necessary adjustments. I think they beat Seattle. Dallas and the Packers. I know that a certain somebody that's listening, I know they can't wait to hear what I have to say about this. First of all, the Packers, if you call it decent, you can. Again, they're giving up just as much as they're scoring. I think that their defense has to play tremendous and phenomenal, I think, to beat Dallas. But, again, I'm not overlooking Aaron Rodgers. I've seen this time and time again. I've seen where the man just, in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes to go, we could be up 7 points. You can give us 7 points if you want. You can give us 3 points if you want. But the question is, can our defense stop Aaron Rodgers when it counts? When it counts. Are we going to let him throw the ball with 2 minutes left to go? We're down by seven. He ties it up, gets it into overtime, and we lose? Because that's happened. Are we going to give him the ball back with under 40 seconds, and he throws a Hail Mary to somebody for the win, and Dallas lose again? Are we going to see that? So there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions. I'm not overlooking the Packers at all. But I think they got to figure out a way to stop Zeke, though. I think their corners are going to have to play well against Amari Cooper. They're going to have to figure that out. Because Coop, that's no joke. If you look at his route running, if you look at, you know, what he can do on the field, and if you look at what he did last year, when he got traded, still came up with 900 yards and a half a season. That's not bad. Especially for a football team that runs majority of the time. This is going to be a really good football game. I'm telling you, you got to tune in. I think this is going to be the most watched football game on Sunday. For sure. For sure. Who do I think is going to win? I think I'm going to go with Dallas this time. And I'm going to tell you why. I think Dallas has a lot to prove. I think the Packers own them right now. I think even if Packers lose, it wouldn't be a big deal because the Packers have beat them several times long before this point. So I think it's a must-win for Dallas if they want to say, hey, we're a Super Bowl contender. And being a contender should have started against New Orleans on the other day, which was Sunday night. They should have took care of New Orleans. And hopefully they take care of Green Bay. Because if they can't, guess what? We're probably not going to be that elite football team in the playoffs either. We'll probably have the same situation we had last year. I have no excuse. I'm just looking at it. I'm looking at it from a standpoint of the way we played last year and the way we're playing right now. Our defense is okay. Is it good? No. No. Because our offense, we're averaging over, what, 20-something a game? But we gave up 12 points and we only scored 10. So if you're averaging double the amount of what you've scored yesterday, that means that either you didn't execute offensively or the Saints held you to 10 points and they were that 10 points better on defense. And they were 12 points a better football team overall. That's what that game told me. Didn't tell me anything else. Green Bay lost to Philadelphia. Philadelphia just ran through them. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. Philadelphia just ran through, and I think they exposed their defense. Do I think the Packers will make some adjustments? I think so. I think so, because I don't think that they'll lose to anybody before they lose to my Cowboys. They'll lose to anybody. They'll lose to anybody. It doesn't make a difference, but it ain't going to be us. So I think that's what's going to make it a great game, for sure. Now, getting into this college football, you know, we got the top five teams. You got Bama, Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, and LSU. Now, when you talk about top five teams, okay, I'm going to dig into Clemson real quick. First of all, I want people to understand that Clemson hasn't really played anybody. Now, if you think about it, when I say they haven't played anybody, I mean in the sense of, do they play in a tough conference? Absolutely not. They play in the ACC, and the ACC has nobody that's going to challenge them, especially for the title in reference to the conference title. I was arguing with one of my friends about a month ago, and we went back and forth, and I told him, I said, look, dude, at the end of the day, you guys play in a horrible conference. That's number one. Number two, if you guys were in the SEC, you guys wouldn't win eight games. That's how tough the SEC is. They're the toughest conference in football today. Okay? If you think about it, look at the top five. SEC has three top five ranked teams. Okay? In the SEC. That's how tough they are. And they probably got more than that in the top 25. The ACC got one, which is Clemson, and the Big Ten has one. So that gives you your top five. So that's what you're looking at. I don't think Clemson can beat LSU. I don't think Clemson can beat Georgia. And I'm not sure if they can beat Bama at this point. I'm not even sure if they can beat Oklahoma at this point with Jalen Hurts at the helm tearing it up for Oklahoma. So we're going to find out, and I can't wait for this college playoff, the top four teams. I can't wait because I want people to realize that Clemson is not as good as people think they are. You're not as good until you play somebody. Okay? And if you look at their schedule, other than Texas A&M, they played no one. Their strength of schedule sucks. So until you play some quality teams, I don't think they deserve to be number two, in my opinion. They don't. Not at all. Ohio State. They're playing magnificent right now. I think they're the most complete football team in football right now on both sides of the ball. They're rated number four. Fields is playing out of his mind. The transfer from Georgia. Wow. I mean, Dobbins, that team is off the hook. They're playing Michigan State this weekend, top 25 team. Michigan State has a decent defense, but they're not gonna beat Ohio State. Ohio State in the last five games has given up 8.5 points per game in the last five games. Eight. That's pretty good. Defensively. And that is why they're the number four team in the country. Period. I think that if you talk about right now the top four teams, Bama, Clemson, Georgia, and Ohio State, I think if the playoffs started today, those are the teams you're looking at. But I don't think that from a contender standpoint, I don't think that that's what the fans want to see. So I think it's going to be hard to have your top four teams. Because I think I think Oklahoma is a contender. I think Florida is a contender right now. And they're rated, I believe, number seven. There's a lot of contenders out there. Auburn's number seven. And Florida's 10. But I think when you're talking about the top four, and if you're going based on rankings, this is what we're looking at. But if you're talking about contenders, you got to look at Auburn as a contender. I think they're playing really well. Bo Nix, they're playing really well.
So Michigan is traveling, is playing Iowa, 19 versus 14. Sorry, Michigan. At the rate you guys are playing, I don't think you guys will beat Iowa. Auburn versus Florida. That's going to be a really, really good game. But I'm going to go with Auburn. I think with who they play, they destroyed Oregon. I think Auburn is gonna really beat Florida, number 10. So,
shout out to SC, man. We lost to Washington over the weekend, but we beat Utah, which they were rated number 10 before that. So. Fight on, Trojans. I'm a Trojan for life. I just wanted to throw that in there. Going forward, we're gonna get deep into it. Boxing. I just wanted to save the best for last, and I'm really gonna dig into this. Now, I was at the fight last Saturday in LA, and I got to see Errol Spence and Sean Porter. And first thing I want to say is that Sean Porter, you got to give him a lot of credit. You got to give him a lot of credit. Sean Porter fought a terrific fight. He did extremely well. And I think he's the best fighter I've seen compete against Errol Spence at this point. I mean, I'm talking about all 12 rounds. And I disagree with the judges. Let me say that right now. I disagree with the judges. I think they had it 111-116, if I'm not mistaken. Whoever scored it, I think the first judge and the last judge, so judge one and then judge three, I think they scored it 111-116. I think that they were blind, and they should never judge boxing again because that fight – was a lot closer than what people think. And I had it as a draw if it wasn't for that knockdown. Did they get it right as far as Errol Spence winning? Yes. He won because of that knockdown. If it wasn't for that knockdown, it's a clear-cut draw, period. I don't care what anybody say. I was there. And there's a difference between watching it on pay-per-view versus watching it live right then and there. And so I had Porter winning the fight before that knockdown in the 11th. And I think that's what saved Errol Spence's record. And that's what saved Errol Spence for unifying and getting those titles. But congratulations to both of them. I thought they fought an extremely great fight. Shout out to Benavidez. I had him winning long before the fight even started because I felt Benavidez had something to prove. He went through a lot, and I thought he had something to prove. So I thought it was important for him to beat Darrell. Darrell is on his way out. He had a great career. So I thought it was important for Benavidez to get the job done. Now that the Spence and Porter fight is over with, now we're talking about who are the contenders now. Are we talking about a Manny Pacquiao? Are we talking about Danny Garcia? Are we talking about a rematch with Porter? Are we talking about Keith Thurman? Are we talking about Uga, who is rated the number two welterweight contender in the world? What are we talking about? What are we talking about? There's a lot of contenders. Are we talking about Bud Crawford? I'm going to get into that in just a few minutes. What do I think? I think that Spence has the right, because he's the champion, to fight who he wants to. That's first and foremost. Do I think Danny Garcia deserves a title shot? No, I don't. I don't, because now if he would have fought Ugas, if he would have fought Keith Thurman, which he did and he lost, if he would have fought a Manny Pacquiao and beat him, then I would say, yeah, he deserves a title shot. But right now, no. The only person that deserves a title shot right now is Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao has beat Keith Thurman. Manny Pacquiao, whooped Keith Thurman. This is the same guy who got on the podium and said, I'm going to retire Manny Pacquiao. Mind you, this is the same Manny Pacquiao that has 67 wins, 7 losses, and 2 draws. Compared to a guy who has only who's only won 29 fights and only had 1 loss. So you had 30 fights, you won 29 of them, but your first loss comes to Manny Pacquiao. So basically, what that's telling me is that that's the only guy who's been able to beat him. Sean Porter couldn't beat him. Danny Garcia couldn't beat him. So why is it that Danny Garcia gets a title shot over a guy he couldn't beat versus a guy he probably wouldn't beat, and that's Manny Pacquiao? So I don't understand. I'm a little lost with that. However, they got him rated as the number one contender at the welterweight division right now. Danny Garcia. If that fight gets made, I'll be surprised. I think that the Terrence, and this is for all the boxing fans, let me say this. That Terrence Crawford fight is not going to happen this year. I believe that the Terrence Crawford fight is going to happen mid-2020. Maybe towards the end of 2020. But I think in the meantime, I think some of these other fighters, Keith Thurman, Danny Garcia, some of the other guys in the welterweight division, hey, let's make the fight happen. Let's make the fight happen. I think the problem is Terrence Crawford is not going to get the respect he deserves. You know why? Because everybody else are cowards and they don't want to fight him. Look, man, if you can't get the fight with Errol Spence, then come on, man. Let's figure it out. Let's move on to the next best fighter in the division. You know? I mean, let's see what's up.
I also want to get into, make this point also. Devin Haney is the mandatory fight for Lomachenko. Let me be perfectly clear. Devin Haney is a young rising star. Devin Haney he's a good young fighter. I mean, his body shots are lethal. Man, he's breaking cats down. Absolutely. Do I think he'll beat Lomachenko? No. Absolutely not. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Lomachenko's experience is going to be a major key against Devin Haney. Devin Haney has never fought anybody that good. He's never fought anybody that good at all. Everybody wants to fight Lomachenko. Everybody. I don't think Devin Haney can beat Gervonta Davis. Period. I said it. And I don't think he can beat Lomachenko. I think he's biting off more than he could chew. I don't even think he can beat Cormier. I think what he needs to do is fight the bottom half of the contender in that division and work his way up. Because at this point, if they were to fight today, Lomachenko wins. Period. And I'm not knocking Devin Haney. Devin Haney, that's a tough dude. That's a tough dude. I'm not knocking him at all. That boy can fight. That's for sure. I don't like the fact that he's with Matchroom Boxing and Eddie Hearn. I think Eddie Hearn sucks as a promoter, but that's just my opinion. I think he should have just went on with the Money Team, Al Heyman and Leonard Ellerbe. But that's just me. But anyway, Lomachenko is going to whoop his ass. I'm just telling you now. We're just going to get this conversation over with. Deontay Wilder and King Kong Ortiz. I'm going to say this. Does Deontay Wilder win? Absolutely. But I keep telling you guys, King Kong Ortiz is no joke. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you right now. This dude, he could lose to Deontay Wilder 100 times out of 100 times. And guess what they're going to say? He's still the number 2 ranked heavyweight in the world. And guess what? Anthony Joshua didn't want to fight him. He weaseled his way out of that fight. Because I guarantee you, Ruiz ain't beat no King Kong Ortiz. I'm going to tell you that right now. King Kong Ortiz will knock Ruiz out. Period. So you can imagine how the rankings are going to shuffle and how these matchups are going to be at some point. But again,
matchups are not going to get made. Do you know why? Because it's a business. It's a business, no matter how we want to look at it.
Again, is Danny Garcia worth a title shot? No. Not at all. Does Keith Thurman deserve a rematch with Manny Pacquiao?
I think if the fight can't get made with Spence, I believe so. I believe so. I think a man deserves a chance to redeem himself. But I don't see that happening. Manny versus Spence. I think that also gets done next year at some time.
I believe that gets done. Okay, the question that somebody had for me was, what does AB need to do? What does Adrian Broner need to do to improve his name and his career?
Well, if I'm AB, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to fight maybe some of the people that I lost. Maybe call out Porter. Maybe call out a few other guys. See if I can get the rematch and try to clean that. Try to beat those guys. Okay, prove why you deserve to be in the welterweight division. And key note, so everybody knows, Adrian Broner is rated the number 11th in the world. Number 11, believe it or not, welterweight in the world. So, I think he deserves, to fight one of the bigger names. Even though he's been getting his ass whooped, I'm just looking at it from a ranking standpoint. I mean, the man is 33-4. And he's right there with Amir Khan. I think it should be Amir Khan and AB. I think that'd be a great fight. Amir Khan is 34-5. AB is 33-4 with one draw. So Amir Khan is rated number 8. AB is rated number 11. I think that'd be a decent fight right there. What Eddie Hearn needs to do is make it on Showtime. Get that money. I think that's just my opinion on how it should go. I'm hoping that we see a really good fight between Gervonta Davis and Tevin Farmer. Gervonta Davis did move up in weight, but he will climb back down in weight if Tevin Farmer is available to fight. All I got to say is Tevin Farmer needs to quit talking shit, and let's make the fight happen and prove to everybody else that you're going to get your ass whooped, because you're not going to beat Gervonta Davis. I can tell you that right now. Gervonta Davis is dominating the sport. He's breaking cats down left and right, period. I'm telling you now.
I'm telling you, this boxing game, this is a mean boxing game. Mean boxing game, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you. So this has been my show, The Final Point. You can catch me weekly, Monday through Friday, from 8 to 9 in the morning on all major platforms. This is The Final Point. Thank you for joining me.